हरि
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 30. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Let us therefore offer our obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. Right, so the trick is, the thing is the so-called material. That's the aspect, is that there isn't actually such a thing as material. We call it the material world because that's how people see it. But actually, that's not the way it is. Right? You know, like people say, okay, this place is this. But actually, no, it's just Krishna's planet. But because people call this particular area, particular country, or particular, then we call it by that. But that's just the common usage. But the actual point is that nothing is actually material. It's all Krishna's energy. It's all he is Paramatma, is in everything. How is it going to be ordinary? But because he hides himself from those who do not look for him, therefore, then that vision that they have of not seeing him, that's material. Right? That's what we call material. And so because of that, then we'll see that things that are spiritual are material. But whatever's connected to Krishna, then it takes on that spiritual quality. Right? Whatever you take, if you connect it to Krishna, it takes on that spiritual quality. Right? It doesn't manifest the material quality. Right? Does that make sense? Material meaning that it will bind you in the world. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have the temporary effect that other things within this world have. It's not that your potato sabji now is eternal. The effect it gives when you eat it is eternal. But it won't last eternally. Right? Is that... Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the next verse explains how the Lord is the cause and total of the universe's ingredients. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests. The ingredient by which everything has been produced. And the person who has created is the only cause of the cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. So, everything rests on him, so the existence of everything is coming from him. He is the basis of everything. So everything exists because of him. Then, from that, all the ingredients that are resting on, those are also him. Right? Then those ingredients, when they are applied to something, they give results. So how you can apply them, that's him. How the results you get, that's him. So all of that is him. Otherwise, how is it working? How is it functioning? How can you take dead matter and get something else? Right? So its ability, its existence, its ability to transform, all these things are him. Right? But he's separate from this. Because it's just his potency. It's just he is the basis of everything. That's who he is. But he as a person is separate from that. So how he would do things and that's another thing. So that's why we then work on the principle is, how does Krishna do things? How does Krishna like to do things? Right? That's then the basis for the recommendations of how one should behave, how one should see, everything like that. Does that make sense? Because that's how Krishna sees it. And that's how all the great sages who know Krishna see it. Because for him, it's all him. It's there. Yes?
So he is Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and aloof as Vasudeva from everything.
Yes. Or at the same time, you can say as he's all four, but same time as he, as the person, is beyond.
Yeah.
So yes. Because there'll be the aspect of Sankarshan, and then he's also beyond that. Like Baladeva is beyond that.
Right.
Even though he is the Kriya Shakti, means Kriya Shakti is his potency. And from that, the whole cosmos is manifest.
Yeah.
Means everything that's manifest is manifest from Balarama's Kriya Shakti. But at the same time, is he separate from that? So you can say that about all of them. You know, but yes, that's the point. It's just like, let's say you have the very wealthy man and he has his house, his grounds and everything, and he attends to detail, right? You know, so he designs the gardens and all this and that, and you know, gets people and gets them to engage in all these different things. So as you go through, you can see the nature of the person in the estate. But he as a person is separate from that estate. That's what's going on. So Krishna sees like that. The sages see like that. We don't see like that. That's why we're conditioned. You know. So we're on that estate and think, oh, hey, here's a nice couch. I can enjoy this. You know. Does that make sense? And other people come along, no, this is my couch. You know, that's what's going on. But because everybody's doing it, you think it's normal. Like probably a good chance that in an insane asylum, all the people in the asylum think that they're normal. You know, they don't think there's anything wrong. So it's only those that are from outside, they can understand. Right? So the same way as those from outside, the liberated living entities, they can tell, you know, that we're crazy. Right? But we think we're fine. We think they're crazy. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Verse 3. Okay, then 4 to 6. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of his lotus feet. An artist on stage, being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Oh, this is Gajendra. Yeah. It's amazing that Prabhupada will mention here is that how is he saying all this? It's because in his previous life as Indradumna, then these must have been prayers he regularly cited. And because of that, it becomes so deep in the memory that even if you go as an elephant, he could still remember it. So Prabhupada said that's why we, you know, chant Hare Krishna and have the standard prayers like Brahma Samhita, because there's stuff that we're regularly chanting that they get stuck in the mind, so if anything goes wrong, then you can still remember the prayers. Right? So if one day you see your cats chanting Brahma Samhita, then you'll know what's the cause of that. You know? Yes. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary to verse 6. This verse explains that the Lord is not understood by anyone. Recent people, ignorant people, cannot understand or talk about the Swarup of the Lord. The form of the actor changes by using his fingers, hands, eyes, and glance to illustrate the words of a song which indicate things like the moon or a lotus. But these forms cannot be understood by a person ignorant of dancing. Similarly, the meaning of the Lord's actions cannot be understood by the ignorant. His actions cannot be understood. Right? So people can't understand unless it's revealed. Right? So he's given the Vedic literatures. Those who have studied and all that will have an idea that based on that, with devotion, then it's revealed. Right? So that's why we follow the instruction of the acharyas. Then in that position, then we can understand by the Lord's grace. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like in the dancing. The modern, they're just dancing. You have ballet or contemporary or any of these things. They're just dancing. They're just moves. They don't technically mean anything. Right? But in the Vedic dancings, then those, every movement, hand movement, eye movement, everything, that all means something specific. So you're trained in that. You can actually understand by seeing it, the whole story that's going on and what's happening. But if you don't know that, it'll just look nice. Does that make sense? So that's what he's pointing out, is that you look at the creation, it looks fabulous. It's very attractive, but we can't understand what it is unless the Lord reveals himself. Is that right? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, thus it is indicated that one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. There are many, many yogis trying to find him. Jnana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1. Nonetheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints, and sages have been unable to understand the bodily features of the great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators like the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them, he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept the statements given by the Supreme when he kindly incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and follow in their footsteps. Then it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, one will immediately be delivered, even within this material body. The material body will no longer have any function, and whatever activities take place with the body will be activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one may give up his body and return home, back to Godhead. Right? So, we have the body for a particular purpose. Our previous activities, you know, from our previous mentality has generated this particular body, that then we continue with our previous mentality. So then we can say the body has a purpose. Right, we have a purpose for whatever particular kind of mundane thought and activities we want to perform. That's what the body's for. Does that make sense? So it has that aspect. But when one comes to full Krishna consciousness, then the body doesn't have any function anymore. Right? Does that make sense? Because the particular body we have is for a particular function in material consciousness. So then what it means is that it no longer, in that capacity, has any meaning. So now it's only engaged in devotional service. So someone on that platform, then when the body's finished, they just go back to Godhead. Because there is no purpose of their body anymore. It's not the medium for generating their next material body. Right? Does that make sense? So, yeah. So that's why then the emphasis on the spiritual master, on the deities, this, because that's what then the body is engaged in. Right? The instruction of the spiritual master, the worship of the Lord, the preaching, like that. So that's why he mentions Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. So we're preaching, we're absorbed in Krishna, and we organize things how Ramachandra did. Right. So when it comes to understanding the social economic system, then how Ramachandra has set it up. That's what we follow. Right? Then we worship Krishna, and we do that through the method that Lord Chaitanya has given us. So, yeah. In the next verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that Gajendra states that though the Lord is invisible to all people, he becomes visible to the person who performs devotional vows. Gajendra continued, Renunciates and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest of the vows, in the forest, the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura comments. Those who desire the lotus feet of the Lord, who have given up material association, or those who take association with persons superior to liberated souls, the devotees, practice vows beyond the Varnashram without fear of falling. Then from Bhagavatam, O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service will never be affected by pride. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Because he's always absorbed in the Lord. The Lord takes care of everything. Right? But don't try this unless you're totally in samadhi. Okay. Yeah. So they're practicing vows beyond Varnashram, because Varnashram is just how to follow the Lord's rules and how it applies with the situations within the material world that we're in, the gross and subtle situations. But Varnashram means you're going beyond the Krishna as a person, right? So Varnashram will deal with how to deal with Krishna as Brahman and Paramatma, because that's what everything is. Everything's manifest Brahman, everything's controlled by Paramatma. So whatever we have here, then by seeing that, then you see the Lord. You are liberated if you have that vision. But then going beyond that is then you're seeing the person. So that's why we say beyond. It doesn't mean you don't use that form. Because it's not, we take it that beyond, we take it that devotional service is a particular form. No, it's a consciousness. Right? So, the forms don't change. The form that is used, you know, according to Shastra, by the Karmi, is the same form that's used by the Jnani, is the same form used by the Bhakta. So, what's the difference between the three? It's the consciousness. So, the consciousness of the Karmi and Jnani, that is the basis on which the Varnashram is structured. Right? Does that make sense? But its actual purpose is bhakti. So then if we take on bhakti, we go beyond. So that's actual vows beyond. Because the one is I'm vowing I'll be good, I'll be respectful, I'll be clean. Right? I'll be detached. I'll be knowledgeable. I'll be renounced. Right? But he goes beyond that I will please Krishna. So that means that's what's beyond. So it's not that the activities change. It's the consciousness goes beyond. That's the real vow. Does that make sense? We understand? So it's not, it's a mentality. So one's gone beyond that mentality, it doesn't mean you go beyond the secondary. That's the thing. If you're working in a mentality based on the secondary, then the difference between one and the other will be the secondary, but that's the mode of passion. Right? We'll say someone from this country and someone from that country are different. Why? Based on the conditioning. So we'll say the living entities are different. But according to Gita, that's knowledge in the mode of passion. Because in goodness, you'll see, no, they're all living entities, they're all the same. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So, therefore, when we try to create equality from the what we do externally, it will never be equal because they don't apply their equality to everybody. Equality is to only the people they accept can be equal. Otherwise, the people they don't accept as equal are never equal. So, there's no question of equality because they're working on the external platform. Right, so equality means it's the consciousness that sees equality. And then because you can see equality, you can accommodate the difference or variety within secondary. But if you can't, you just see equality within the secondary, then you'll never, one, get equality, and two, you'll never see the primary aspect of equality. So that's the thing, is you never actually have it. Those that have Krishna consciousness, they have whatever anybody's looking for. But when you're trying to find these things separate from Krishna consciousness, you never actually get them. Right? We don't hear of anyone attaining fully to what they wanted. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can you say the Bhagavat Marga?
A little louder, please.
Bhagavat Marga is beyond Varnashram.
Bhagavat Marga is beyond Varnashram. But it doesn't mean that the form is different. See, Varnashram, you're following for karma and jnana. Right? Does that make sense? So Bhagavat means you're following to please the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? But it's taken as that, oh, see, we go beyond the Varnashram, so we don't have to follow Varnashram. But then the problem is that's okay if you're a Paramahamsa, and if you're not a Paramahamsa, then why it's even being stated? You know what I'm saying? So the aspect is that the Bhagavat means whatever you do, it's done simply to please Krishna as a person. For the Varnashram, it's being done to please the Lord as Brahman and Paramatma. Right? Because he's the Lord of creation. Does that make sense? So you can do that with, devotion that we wouldn't say is pure. Right? So in other words, you can be a good follower of the Vedas, acknowledge the supremacy of Vishnu and how everything's based on him, but at the same time not really be a devotee. You accept that he's the supreme, so therefore he's respected, he's worshipped and all that, but it's just part of the process to get karma jnana. So it'll be bhakti misra karma, bhakti misra jnana. Right? So the goal is not pure devotion. But then you have the devotees, they'll be working on that platform where they're like karma misra bhakti, where it may be because of the facilities or because of, you know, freedom from material anxiety or entanglement, that they may in the beginning be inspired in devotional service, but eventually by following according to the acharyas, then they'll get to the platform of pure devotion. Does that make sense? Well, the other ones, they'll be very pious and attain very great positions, but will never become devotees. Does that make sense?
Whatever you explained about now, how to go beyond Varnashrama. So, like, is that the reason why that, because Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, both are Paramahamsas, that's the reason why, you know, Mahaprabhu says, you know, you tell something more, you know, go beyond Varnashrama.
But he said, what's the goal? What's the ultimate goal? So Varnashrama is never a goal.
That point has been picked up and Varnashrama has been thrown away from the society.
That's by people who don't know philosophy or logic. You know what I'm saying? Take a 3-year-old, hand him a book on calculus. What's he going to do with it? Drop it, scribble on it, you know, rip the pages out, make paper airplanes, stand on it because he's not quite tall enough to get at the, you know, the cookies on the counter. So that's a total misunderstanding of the pastime and what's going on there. You understand? It's being thrown out as that's the goal. That's the best possible position of devotional service. But now, let us just look at this. Okay. Now, let's say we accept that Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram, throws it out, it's nothing to do with devotional service. Okay? Let's just say. What was Lord Chaitanya's stand on women coming close and offering obeisances?
He didn't like that. He was away from the women.
And why?
Because he was following Varnashram, because that's the highest standard sannyas.
But then, now we're being contradictory.
Yeah.
He followed it. He would only go to certain houses because as a sannyasi, is this and that. He had 5 pieces of clothes. That's it. You know what I'm saying? You wear some, you take a bath, and then you use others as gumption, and then you put on the next ones, and rinse them all, put them on the bank, and like that, and you're Hari Bal. You know what I'm saying? So he lived the life of a sannyasi, even though he's rejected Varnashram. Ramananda Rai, how did he classify himself within Varnashram?
As a Shudra.
Why? Because they're beyond Varnashram. Here is the devotee who the discussions on Prayojana Tattva is being done with him, and he classifies himself as a Shudra, not out of humility, just that's what he's doing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, how can we say is that Varnashram is going beyond Varnashram is we don't have to follow it? Mm-hmm. How could they come up with that as a conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. So, because we're taking it that the secondary or the external is the devotional service. But if that's the devotional service, then why do we make comments about Smarta Vaishnavas? Because they do all the things that we're supposed to do. And they do it very comfortably. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, us on a good day is what a smarta does every day. No? Like that. They don't have a problem getting up for Mangal Arati. Right? They don't have a problem doing all those different things. Sitting there doing the puja, keeping everything clean. You know, doing all that. That's what they do. You know what I'm saying? So if that was the devotional service, then why do we make comments about it? Why do we count them as upasampradaya? You know what I'm saying? Because the point is it's the mentality that makes bhakti. But we use the recommended form. So we can't say, because it's bhakti is about the mentality, so the form doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, the form matters because it's the offerings to Krishna.
Yeah. And form is the medium to express the mentality.
The form is the medium to express the mentality. You can't separate it. That was the discussion. What was that? The Vedanta Sutra discussion, no? Or was that earlier in this one? Where we're saying about the form. The form and the object. No, that was this morning, Vedanta Sutra. That was the final sutra of the final sutra of the first pada. Was that when we're talking here about prana, you know, that there's a difference, that this is about what's the object of worship. So the point is the object and the method you don't separate. Right? So therefore then there's a natural form. Now, if we find ourselves in a position that's unnatural, do we start from there and engage that in devotional service? And then as we be purified, we naturally will come through and bring it to a more standard position. You know what I'm saying? Magrari the hunter gave up his hunting, but he didn't give up living in his hut. And his family and, you know, all the activities that go on in his family. You understand? He just gave up those things that are unfavorable. Right? So the acharyas list what's favorable and unfavorable. If we're attached naturally, yes, we'll say, no, but this, you know, what does it matter? But the point is if it doesn't matter, why does it matter that it doesn't matter? Oh, it doesn't matter, we can use anything. But why does it matter that it doesn't matter, we can use, and so therefore we can use anything? Why is it always come back to that? And so there's a detachment. So that's the whole thing is, yes, devotees can use whatever it is, but if it's done with attachment, then it's got attachment mixed with it. It's not pure devotional service. So therefore, we're trying to do what's recommended. And just that we're trying to do what's recommended, even though we're not perfect at it, that we're making that effort, that will get, the Lord will be appreciate. But if we're saying, we don't have to do that, we can do anything, but I'm doing this particular anything that I'm attached to, then where's the effort to please the Lord? Means, yes, the mentality we're trying to please the Lord, but where is the effort within the secondary? So the devotee is trying for the primary and trying for the secondary, then it balances. But if we're only trying for the primary and the secondary, we just keep our own attachments, then it won't be as complete. Because ultimately, it does come down to that they do things in the spiritual world according to Krishna's desire. It does expand from his desire, not from ours. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, if you look at it very seriously, let's say if you had a devotee, okay, they're living, you know, how you say? Let's say you had a devotee living, you know, not within the Vedic fold. Let's say whatever it is, 1,000 years ago. Okay? Now, would he be speculating whether Krishna eats pizza or not? No, because it hasn't even been invented. He has a problem. So then we can understand is they're speculating based on their own attachments. They're not speculating anything real. You know what I'm saying?
It's speculating on prana and pragya being Indra, that's real?
No.
So it's as unreal as speculating on pizza 1,000 years
yes.
ago?
Yes, yes. But I'm saying, but the point is that it's being made as, no, but this is there, there's variety, why not? But I'm saying, why not, you know, are they talking about Krishna eating spelt? You know what I'm saying? No. So they only talk about him eating stuff they like to eat, stuff they don't like to eat. No, there's playful eating, all kinds of weird stuff all over the planet.
Is he supposed to offer Krishna the best?
Yes, like that. But at the same time, as one would doubt whether their pizza is actually, we would call it the best, you know, even on the mundane platform. You know what I'm saying? So the point is we don't go into these things. Is that it's there, you're using it, fine, but it's not, there can't be an attachment to it. It's there, it's the situation, use it, fine. You know, Prabhupada's driving that first bus, that I forget what it was, I think they were on 26 Second Avenue. I think they were still there, unless it was 61. Somebody got a bus, I think it was an old school bus. I'm not sure if the first devotee who joined had it or they went out and got it, you know, because in those days you could get something like that, a whole bus for, you know, $100-$300 like that. But, you know, there was a hole in the floor that they had to keep a piece of metal on top of, and the exhaust pipe is broken, so all the fumes come up through the place, and you know, there was no seats. They had been taken out because it was probably a hippie bus. And so they just brought a chair and put it in there for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's very, very happy because it's Krishna's bus. You know? So that's the whole point. It's connected to Krishna. It becomes perfect. But it's not that he's attached to that bus and that from then on is all the ISKCON temples had to use old school buses because that was the bona fide vehicle. You understand? So it's there, you use it, then you move on. Like that. So the only things that are maintained as steady is that which is recommended. That then you would make a regular thing. So you see Prabhupada where? His dhoti is his uttariya, his chadar, like that, his kurta, like this. He would just wear the standard things. Now, sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long. I remember once he was in Calcutta, someone brought him new cloth. So generally they'd get this bigger cloth, you know, full-size cloth for his dhoti. This one, they saw some really nice cloth, but it was only 36 inches wide. But they didn't think about it. They just bought it. And, you know, as Prabhupada said, don't want to get too short, so they got extra long. I don't know how long it was, but it was way longer than what he wore. So he's out, you know, for the morning walk around Victoria Memorial wearing this really short cloth that's super long, you know. But, you know, it doesn't matter. He's wearing that. And then after some time, some new cloth goes. That goes, and then he's, you know what I'm saying? So that's the point. That's where you can use whatever. Because if it works in the situation, you use it. But if it doesn't work, it can't be that I'm attached to this, it has to work. Like that. It's what actually does work. Right. Now, if we say, I feel more comfortable in this, then say that. But don't try to present it. No, this is what makes Krishna conscious work. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gajendra continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth. Activity, name, form, qualities, or faults. to fulfill the purpose for which this material world was created and destroyed. He comes in the form of a human being like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency, and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. 8 and 9. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Though the Lord has no material birth and actions, he appears with birth and actions in this world. However, at the time of destruction and creation, the Lord accepts birth and activities in the forms of Brahma and Shiva by Rajas and Tamas for creation and destruction. Manas of the world by Vishnu is not mentioned, since Vishnu is beyond Maya. Thus, non-material birth and activities are not forbidden for the Lord. One cannot reject the birth from Devaki, actions like lifting Govardhan, or names and forms like Krishna and Rama, according to Shruti. Material influence is forbidden. Okay. Then from Sweta Sutara Upanishad, the Lord is without parts, without action, peaceful, without fault, without contamination. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6.19. The Lord is beyond sound, beyond touch, beyond form, and indestructible. Katha Upanishad 1.35. But spiritual activity and qualities are described. The Lord is all activities, all fragrance, all taste, and all desire. Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.2. So they say he's beyond, the same time saying he's beyond whatever is here, at the same time it's saying he is whatever is here. So that's the point, is you have to be able to work, how do those two work out? It's not that it's you know, how you say, like in the Vedanta Sutra that they're saying, so therefore all the things of this world are worshipable. No, the things themselves are not. But that the Lord is the potency behind them, that's what is worshipable. So since you're going to worship the Lord, why worship him in the form of a groundhog or something? You know? You worship him in his deity form. Does that make sense?
The Lord is without parts.
Without parts. Means he's not like, you know, how you say that action figure that you can take off his head and take off his arms and this and that. Means that all the functions of any part of his body can do the part of another. So it's just by his own desire that he, you know, that's the way he does things. You know, same time as you can't cut him up into pieces. Because otherwise there's the idea is that the jivas being from Brahman, so they've separated from Brahman, so now Brahman is not complete. And only when all these living entities go back, then everything will be complete. It's one form of Mayavad insanity. Like that. So that was a really good one, along with the one that there's one living entity who's in Maya and dreaming of all of us. You know, so now who's that one living entity? So they come up with some wild, you know, they have nothing to do. You know? And it's a good thing that they have nothing to do and they follow the four of the principles. You know, could you imagine them if they were thinking like this and were on psilocybin? Oh, whoo, boy. You know, we'd end up with some weird stuff. Yeah? Okay. Okay. Vishnu Purana says, the Lord is devoid of faulty qualities but has all auspicious qualities. Right? So he himself is known by all the superior qualities. So it's the superior qualities in anything that's where you see the Lord. The inferior qualities, that will be just his energies. Right? So in other words, the living entity is manifesting inferior qualities because of inferior nature. Right? So polluted nature gets polluted qualities. Right? Higher nature gets higher qualities. Right? So there's never anyone that's totally impious. That's why any living entity has something about it that is has some piety. That's why in everything you can find something of value. Right? From the side of qualities. Then you have the aspect of super souls in everyone's heart. You're looking at that, so you're not really looking at their qualities. Right? The word Bhagavan means the person endowed with unlimited knowledge, shakti, strength, greatness, prowess, and beauty. without any inferior qualities. It is said in all scriptures that the Lord of the universe is without qualities. He is devoid of inferior qualities. The word inferior means material qualities, right? So there's no material, he only has spiritual. Padma Purana. The Lord's name is spiritual. O Vishnu, your name is spiritual, self-revealed. Knowing that name, a little, not completely, chanting impurely, we have attained fine intelligence about you. Because that name, Om, is perfect in itself. Rig Veda 1:156.3. So you can see the chanting of the Lord's name, it's a standard Vedic process. And through that, everything is working. Gajendra continued, I offer my respectful obeisances under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Supersoul, who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, Atma Pradipaya, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, the words, or consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the Lord is not understood by the mind and words of the jiva. The Lord is the revealer of knowledge to the jiva. That which is revealed does not know the nature of the revealer. Right, so things are revealed to us, but that doesn't mean that we understand the Lord who is revealing. He reveals something, that much we know, but we don't know the rest. So that's the problem. We shouldn't think that because I know something, now I know everything. No, because Krishna reveals that there's more. He's unlimited. By the exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. It's kind of like a yoga studio. You know, you go down like a gym, and then you just sit there and do mind exercises. So you have a mind trainer will come there. And, yeah, the whole thing like that. But it's very exclusive. You know, you have to be well connected and have to be recommended. Otherwise, you can't get in. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're good with that? No? You want to know why it's not open equally for everybody? No, it just means is that exercise means we will mentally speculate, the mind will juggle the words, our consciousness will try in different avenues, but it's not that way we'll know the Lord. We can't know Him by that. We can only know Him by following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That's how we'll know. All these things, none of it can do. Right? That's what it mentions, that yogis travel the speed of mind for millions of years, they'll still not catch the Lord. They can't even get a glimpse of the effulgence of His toenail, let alone the toenail.
They're not going anywhere, they're just doing exercise.
Yeah, they're on this kind of like a mental treadmill, yeah, they're just running in place. So it looks like they're going really, really fast, but they're actually not.
Even in the Vedanta Sutras, the Mayavadis are doing the same thing. Exercise.
That's all. Because we saw in Vedanta Sutra that it's not that intelligent or mature. The quality of the intelligence they have is of good quality. You know, meaning that they can speculate, they can see fine points, but they're blinded because of their inability to appreciate the Lord. So you see is that they make these big statements and then with a very small statement the acharyas defeat it. Right? So, and they keep coming back to the same points. Right? And so Vyasadeva being the Lord, he knows all these things, therefore all these deviations in philosophy then he deals with. Right? So, yeah. Gajendra continued. Well, we did that one? No, we're down here. The body, life, air, senses, internal senses, gross elements, and sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the jiva. The jiva knows all of these items and the gunas which cause them. He also knows Paramatma, but does not know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite qualities. Right? So we can see is that the body, life, air, senses, internal senses, gross, sense objects, they don't know the living entity. They don't know themselves, don't know the living entity. Right? So, in that way you can see, is in that same example, the living entities don't know Krishna. Right? That's the point. They don't know who they are, they don't know who Krishna is. So it's only when it's revealed then it can be understood. I offer respects to the Lord who cannot be understood by the action of the jiva's consciousness. So wherever he applies his effort, his focus, then his thought, if I put my mind into it, you know, or intelligence like this, then I'll be able to work it out. But you can only work on that within the material, and that's only as the Lord reveals anyway. So it's you put in the effort, and, you know, therefore you have the karma, then it'll be revealed, and so then, okay, this guy invented this, right? What is it? Who is it? Electricity?
Edison.
Tesla.
Tesla. That. I think also Benjamin Franklin worked out something with his kite and on a rainy, stormy day with a key on it. That's really stupid. You know, so like that. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, again. And so, like this is that, but the point is was electricity never there before? Before Tesla, there just wasn't any. And then when he came along, then all these things are there? No, that's the point, it's always there. That's the thing. Then the modes just, they put in the effort, so the modes adjust, and then it becomes revealed to people, and now suddenly everybody can see it. When before that, no one could see it. Right? If Edison had come, let's say, a couple of hundred years earlier, along with his apple falling on his head, you know, how far would he have gotten? Right? What would have happened? The church would have called him in and told him, be a good boy. Otherwise, see that out in the courtyard there, that stake that says, you know, we got plenty of them. There's no problem. You understand? So that's all it is. It's just when it's time, it's revealed. Otherwise, even if it comes up earlier, it doesn't happen. What's his name? Da Vinci. He invented the helicopter, but nobody cared. You know, so it's only a couple, you know, 400 years later then, whoa, helicopter, you know. So that's the point. When the modes adjust, then it's revealed, then everybody appreciates it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Previous point. Why he knows Paramatma, but doesn't know the omniscient Lord? Why he knows Paramatma?
But, I mean, he knows that he's there, but he actually doesn't know the person.
Are we talking about the yogi? Or just
yes, the yogi. I mean, in other words, he knows Paramatma feature, but he doesn't know the Bhagavan feature. So, yeah. Gajendra continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respects unto him. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, devotional service is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activity will not endure. Naishkarmyam ap yachuta bhavam varjitam. Unless one performs activities with reference to Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. Right? So that means technically when we call about nishkam karma yoga or naishkarmya, other than devotional service, there technically is no naishkarmya. It'll have the form of naishkarmya, but it doesn't have the consciousness. Does that make sense? The karmis, they're fruit of workers, mundane consciousness. You give up that fruitive work, you know, and we'll say that that's the jnani. You'll say he's renounced. But his consciousness is still, I'm the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? So that's what we mean by the consciousness. You can play around with it all you like, but unless it comes to devotion, it won't get you anything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because otherwise, cessation of the material, it won't be helpful. It's a lot of trouble, but you won't get what you're looking for. In hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stopped their activities. Yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But it's a very common, I don't know about recently, but sometime before, I think, when was it back? That would have been in the 80s. Yeah. The probably they're all dead now. Kamakotipitam? Kanchi. You know Kamakoti. Okay. Chandrasekhar Acharya was there? Right? He was the big guy. Okay. Then he had his junior, who was the big guy. I don't know who his junior was, but he was the age of Prahlad when we went there. And so he came out of the veranda and saw Prahlad because he was in Tilak and Dodi, and he was showing interest and waving and all that. And then all the smart pandas came in, got him, and took him inside. So then maybe he's on the seat now. So the guy in the middle before him, he was there after Chandrasekhar had moved on to God only knows where, but you know, not necessarily where he thought he was going, but. So then the next one, he was the head of the Mat, and he's there and he's doing that, and one day just disappears. They don't know what happened to him. Then, having disappeared, then I think after 3 weeks or something, then he reappears in some other place. And then when he reappears, then, you know, I guess it was, the explanation is that he went off to think of something, you know, he was absorbed in his, you know, meditation and all that, and he came up with this new great plan for, you know, humanity. So he started this new philanthropic kind of program. I don't remember what it was, but it was something very big, you know, because they're very influential and everything. So it was some big philanthropic program. So here you went from the head of the Mutt, you know, who's just interested in Brahman and everything is illusion, to now the same head of the Mat is now opening a big philanthropic and doing good for everyone, and everyone, oh wow, this is great, this is nice, this is fabulous. So that's what Prabhupada means. They all generally end up there. They start off being very renounced, very detached, nothing until it dries up so much, and then they get into philanthropy. It's just the way it goes. You have to do something because it's nice karma, therefore, okay, we'll do it for everybody else, but it still will be on the platform of Pranamoy. It's just the way it works. They can't maintain because it's not natural. Where's the ananda for the living entity? So, yeah? Okay. Okay. Many highly elevated sannyasis adopted their activities, stopped their activities, yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in the spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, one does not fall down. Our Krishna conscious movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activity, by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. The spiritual activities of Bhakti Marg, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarnam Padasevanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, Satvena Prati Labhyaya Naishkarmyena Vipaschita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. Right, so, in other words, when the consciousness is on the Lord in the devotional process, then the Lord is realized. That's the whole. In other words, when we do our devotional activities to please Krishna, that's when we realize Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can we say then that by Naishkarmya we can realize Bhagavan?
Means as Prabhupada points out here, real Naishkarmya means devotional service. That's how he opens it. Devotional service is called Naishkarmya. And he's pointing out that other applications of Naishkarmya aren't actually Naishkarmya because they'll actually come back down into material activity. So, if we're taking that as a definition, then saying, will Naishkarmya reveal the Lord, then we can say yes. But just giving up work and giving up attachment to things, that won't reveal Krishna. Right, it's when you do that in connection with Krishna, that's when. Does that make sense? Because if you're giving up the mundane, then that means you can accept Krishna. But if the mind is fully absorbed in the mundane, where is Krishna going to fit in? You know, it's kind of like, you know, trying to get on, you know, What, the train to Shelda train to Calcutta? You know, I mean to here. You know, going to Shelda. You know, it's like, you know, so Krishna doesn't do that.
But previously we said that even one doesn't want to be Krishna conscious, he still
makes him. You just want to make sure. Huh? Yes, that is there, but that doesn't mean that we bank on that one.
No.
It means you're trying to do, but there's always going to be some area where we're not necessarily Krishna conscious.
Well, we're not necessarily trying.
Yeah.
Or we just...
We don't know, we don't try like this, but the point is the effect will come there. Because how is that happening? Because the devotee is worshiping the Lord. So he may be worshiping in one aspect, but he'll get in all aspects because the Lord is complete. But you have to focus and try to do nicely. But you can't say, oh, I'm doing this one, and so I don't have to worry about the others. You try your best to be Krishna conscious in whatever within your understanding is there. Right? In other words, what you're conscious of, you try to be Krishna conscious in all those aspects. Does that make sense? Because so that's the aspect of sincerity, is that we're trying. It doesn't say that you have to be successful at it. It points as you're trying to be successful, so that sincerity is there. Then everything will be revealed. Does that make sense? So we can't just say, well, I'm conscious of all these things, but I'll just take that one and do that, Krishna conscious and everything else, I'll just be a Maya. But, you know, Krishna will, you know, force on all this. But then the point is yes, but it also mentions before about, we were talking about Krishna karma, Krishna has his ways. So then that one that you're trying in, that's going along nicely, the other nine that you ignore him and do your own thing, you might find suddenly are not working very well. Zones. But the point is why that's there, it means we're trying, but it's not complete. So that's why Krishna in Gita says, he preserves what you have and provides what you lack. So you're trying, so he'll provide what we're lacking. But we can't sit back and say, okay, you take care of that. And
what about preserving?
Preserving?
I mean, supplies from your lack.
Preserving means our Krishna consciousness and providing that aspect that we lack. Right. So it doesn't mean that, how you say, he preserves our one building and what we lack are the two on either side and the ones in front, right? You know, that's not necessarily what it means. It just means that Krishna consciousness won't be lost. We're Krishna conscious, that won't be lost. And then what we're lacking in our Krishna consciousness, that Krishna will make up. Yes?
You said about the definition of sincerity. Sincerity.
Okay.
Like all the aspects that we are dealing with, we are Krishna conscious. That implies sincerity.
Yeah, it means that we're trying.
Yeah,
not necessarily that we're successful, that we're trying.
That is sincerity. One of the places Prabhupada also mentions that one has to be sincere and serious. So what is the meaning? I mean, do the two terms mean the same, sincerity and seriousness? Or is it?
You can say seriousness means you're trying your best.
You know, we say it's determination.
Yes, you could say it like that, I would think. Is that means you have the attitude that you're trying to please Krishna and you're trying to do that to the best you can. And then you're trying to focus and with the best of your ability apply that. So there's two. So it's not just you're sincere and doing nothing. You're sincere and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's knowledge, you have to have action, and then there must be, you know, the ultimate object.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things should be in place. Otherwise, we'll catch one and leave the others out. Of course, Krishna is going to fill those in, but what it means is then you'll become aware that the others are there. But the point is that the knowledge and the training shows that all is there. What we catch, that's another thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad 15 says, Bhaktir Asya Bhajanam Tad Iha Mutro Padi Nerasyenaiva Mushmim Manasa Kalpanam Etat Eva Cha Naishkarmyam. This is the definition of Naishkarmya. One acts in Naishkarmya when he fully engages in Krishna consciousness without material desires to enjoy, either here or in the upper planetary systems, in the present life or in the future life. Iha Amutra Anyavi Lashita Shunyam Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. When one is freed from all contamination and he acts in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, one is on the platform of Naishkarmya. By such transcendental devotional service, the Lord is served. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. And so, again, the point is that when you're trying to do things just to please Krishna without any material desire, then that is Naishkarmya. In other words, pure devotional service and Naishkarmya are the same. You know, just like devotional service and liberation are the same. The term is used in the ordinary sense to mean that you've gotten out of the material world. But for those who are actually elevated, you know, who have the full knowledge, then they understand that real liberation means being in the spiritual world in a relationship with the Lord. Right? That's liberation. So the same way, Naishkarmya, it means that you have given up all desire for results of activity. So that means no karma, no gyan. But how can you do that unless that's directed at somebody? So that means the Supreme Lord. We act because it's for us. When we give up acting for us, if we don't act for someone else, then we'll just do nothing. So that's where switching as us is the center to Krishna is the center. Do we say one is freed from all contamination? Mm-hmm. So we finished this section. Okay, so Gajendra continued. Okay. Gajendra continued, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadeva, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadeva, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. Right? So he has no material qualities, but he comes as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, right? To do these, but he's beyond. Right? So it's, yeah. I offer my respectful obeisances. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the Supersoul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature, and the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O my Lord, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problem of doubts. Footnote 9. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. A rope causes fear for a bewildered person who considers it a snake, but not for a person with proper intelligence who knows it to be only a rope. Similarly, you, as the Supersoul in everyone's heart, inspire fear or fearlessness according to one's intelligence. But in you there is no duality. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.36-37. So doubts come from duality. Right? You see two different things that don't match. But when you're connected to the Lord, then either you can see their match or what is actually the proper position. Right? Means if you're seeing a rope as a snake, then you'll get the intelligence to see it's just a rope. Does that make sense? So the Lord is who instills. So actual fearlessness comes from being situated in service to the Lord. Right? When we identify with the Lord, we're fearless. When we identify with something material, then we're fearful. Because what will be lost? The mundane. Right? Nothing can happen to the soul. So fear actually comes from the material connection. So fearless means we see from the platform of the soul, so therefore nothing bothers us. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Footnote 10. This implies that the Lord is the formal cause of the creation. Aristotle proposed four causes. Aitai in Greek. Or reasons for something happening. To explain how creation occurs. These are the material, formal, efficient, and final. Something created must have a substance. Must have substance. That substance is the material or ingredient cause. Something created must have shape. That shape is the formal cause. Creating something is an act, and that act must be initiated. That which initiates creation is the efficient cause. Something created must have a purpose. That purpose is the final cause. Any realistic plan of creation without account of these four causes is sarvakarana karanam, the cause of all causes. Right? So,
Must account for
this. Any realistic plan. Oh, must account for these four causes. Right. So then we can see is that he is not even. How you say? So here is that the final cause for the purpose. So the real purpose is Krishna. So then, in that case, then seeing like that is proper. So he's explaining according to the regular logic, just the ordinary logic. And so he's seeing within that. But the point is it's not that it's not facts, that it's not has its origin in Krishna. Just Aristotle was not known for being overly spiritual. In fact, I think of the three, he was the gross materialist. Right? Means... Socrates was more of a Brahman, understanding Brahman. Plato was, playing his cards right so that he didn't end up with a nice glass of hemlock also. And then Aristotle was just a gross materialist. Smart, but gross materialist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those we accept.
Means that will be within the thing because here it is what he causes. Okay, something created must have a shape. So that'll be the ingredient. So we'll say, yes, that's the material cause. But what we're saying is, we'll say is that the transformation is going to happen within this material cause. Right? So that's the thing. What he's doing is taking is that you have the shape. Then creating something is an act. That act must be initiated. And this initiation is the efficient cause. Something must have a purpose. That's the final cause. So in other words, he's just describing sambandhavide and prayojana. But he's only applying it within the material because that was his only purpose. You know, if Socrates had been talking this, which he would have been, then he would have seen it in the spiritual, or more spiritual up to Brahman. So that you have the four causes, you can work from it. But so substance is there means it's the material cause, but then also original, what is the substance of anything is Krishna.
But for us, material cause... We once said that's prakriti.
Yes, that's prakriti. That's the material energy. Substance is the material. Something created must have shape.
And formal cause.
So something must have shape. So that means that something, there must be, in other words, he's saying that something has an existence and it has a shape. Then there's something you can do with it and it will get a result. But there must be a purpose for why you're getting that result. So we just say that you can get the result, but what's your purpose? So if your purpose is not understood, then the result may not come out very nicely. So, in other words, it's a very intelligent way how to be successful in the material world.
But can we equate this? Material cause would be prakriti, final cause would be Krishna, and formal cause?
Formal cause for us is that's the internal potency. In other words, the primary creation.
And efficient?
Efficient, in this case, would be us. We're the instrument. But ultimately, if you're just taking twos, the efficient and material, he's the efficient means the original, and the material means here. So it's like that. Because here we say, creating something is an act, and that act must be initiated. But that which initiates is the efficient cause, so that's us.
The desire.
It just means that's the living entity, you know, due to his desire and things like that. But what's being left out is, in other words, he's taking the two, means we have four. Two we can see on this side, and two are beyond. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have the Supreme Lord, who is the origin, he is the qualities of everything. Mm-hmm. Right? That Brahman aspect. The energy of that, then that transforms into what is the blueprint of this world. Right, so the 8,400,000 species that is already established before. That's the formal cause. That's why you can't do something with something here different than what the formal cause allows. Nowadays, people say you can do anything, do anywhere, anyone can do it like that. No, it's not, because the formal cause is there. You can do within what it is. Right? I'm not this body. Does my elbow bend backwards now? No, it still bends that way. Why? Because the formal cause. That's how an elbow works. Right? Now it should be you're bending your elbow to please the ultimate cause, the Supreme Lord. Right? Is that what I said? So now we come down into here, is that you have the living entities and the material energy. So living entity is the, you could say, the efficient cause here, because he wants to do something, but the actual material cause is material energy, because it transforms itself. We can't actually transform it. We just take part, but it transforms. So that's how we'll do it. Now what he's doing here is he's saying that then the material cause, something has an existence, yes, but we're saying that existence is theirs because of the original and the formal. So he's knowing something's beyond, but he's not explaining existence. Then it will have a shape, yes, so it's there. And but it doesn't also explain the transformation. But he has those two. Then there'll be the person there. And he does the activity, but there must be a reason for it. So in other words, there's two aspects of the material cause and two aspects of the efficient cause. And that way he gets four. But you see the four on this side of the Viraja. He doesn't understand the two on that side. Like that. But it's practical. It gets things done. So you can say it has a has the thing, it has the form, it has that, and it has a purpose. So you can say that you're dealing with Sambandabhidaya and Prayojana there. Or Shankar Shampajumna Adiyudra and Vasudeva. So he's dealing with that on the material. So he's dealing within secondary. Mm-hmm. And within secondary, he's smart enough to see how it functions. So if people based it on this, then he's more complete than all these modern days, success gurus. You know, he actually understands more.
That's why he's known.
Yeah, that's why he's known. And everybody else, they know him now, and after a few years, who's ever heard of him? Right? Right. Does that make sense? So that means is that, therefore, the ultimate purpose, he's taking it the purpose, but when we connect it to Krishna, that becomes spiritual. Mm-hmm. When our endeavor is in line with authority to please Krishna, it becomes then spiritual. When we understand the nature of something and the form of something and what it can do by its position in relationship to the Lord and the original and formal cause for Krishna's pleasure, then it becomes spiritual. So the aspects of causation remain, but the point is that it becomes spiritual by doing so. We can add it by adding Krishna consciousness, then using this form, it does take on the how we would explain it. But he's just not explaining it that way. But when we add Krishna, it does take that form. Does that make sense? Because then those two that are missing, he's taken those two and brought them down into the mundane. Says, I'm the desire, I'm the... But it actually goes up, is that the form of it is actually coming from the original. So he uses the names, but the places he's got a bit mixed up. You know, because in other words, he's not theistic, so it's not revealed. He's smart, he applies himself, he uses intelligence, therefore he's rewarded for that, his use of intelligence. You know, mechanically it's working fine, so he gets results. But because it's not coming from a theistic platform, he doesn't get those results. Because his explanation doesn't include Socrates. What he's talking about is that what you see here is actually a shadow of what's the original. So Socrates is actually not exactly explaining it like this, but he's talking about more of what we're talking about. But he just doesn't have knowledge of what is that world beyond, what is that original. Right? So that must be coming down from the Greek contact with India, because they got there and they got the philosophy and everything. So he must have been connected with something that had more of a better understanding. But it didn't work out politically very good for him, and so therefore then his followers, in other words, Aristotle is...
Second generation.
Yeah, second generation, third generation, yes. Yeah. Like it's a, he's Socrates. What, does he have a name for his philosophy, Socrates? Does it have
They call him the philosopher.
The philosopher. So, yeah, so Aristotle is the philosopher West.
He's a materialist.
Yeah, he's a materialist. He's just brought it into what will be accepted by everyone else so that everybody will accept and follow what he says. That's the difference. Socrates was, there's the absolute truth. We have to adjust to the absolute truth. That was not popular. They killed him. So he is that he adjusts so that the materialist will like what he's saying, because he's telling the materialist how to be better at materialism. So what he's saying here, now all those you know, professionals that killed him, now they'll like what he's saying.
But they didn't kill him also?
Aristotle, no. Only Socrates.
Yeah.
He died of natural causes?
I'm not sure Plato or I think Aristotle, they were actually about to also to give him hemlock, but he said, I won't give the Athenian public the pleasure of killing second big philosopher, so he escaped.
He escaped, oh, okay.
I'm not sure Plato or Aristotle, one of those.
Yeah. That I know of, Plato is well accepted, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Aristotle is well accepted.
If there were some political reasons.
Oh, okay.
Plato died... 80-something.
Plato made it.
Third generation?
Yeah. So the whole point is that you can speak what people like it, and then, you know, it seems to do better for you. But the point is will you get the absolute truth? That's a different discussion. Right? You want to be popular? That's one discussion. You want to actually give people the absolute truth? That's another. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Prabhupada's point was, we're selling diamonds, not glass. Glass, everybody will buy. Diamonds, those who are qualified will buy. So this idea, no, that everybody buys that success, that's not... You know. So. Indeed, one has to accept this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. Footnote 11. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water, only because of him do the material universes, temporally manifest by the reaction of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. Srimad Bhagavatam 111. So that something exists is because Krishna is there. He has entered it, that's why it exists. And that's why it appears real. Right? Because he's there, he makes it attractive, he lets it transform, he gives the results. Does that make sense? Okay. That's the whole idea. Srila Prabhupada paraphrases verse 14 as follows. The objectives of sensual activities are actually observed by you. Without your direction, the living entity cannot make even a step forward. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto, Matas Mritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. You are situated in everyone's heart, and only from you come remembrance and forgetfulness. Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga, Brahma Samhita 5:44. The living entity under the clutches of Maya wants to enjoy this material world, but unless you give him directions and remind him, he cannot make progress in pursuing his shadowy objective in life. The conditioned soul wrongly progresses towards the wrong objective, life after life, and he is reminded that objective by you, Right. So, in other words, we're doing something in this life. We don't necessarily complete it, or we do it and we like it. So in next life, because it's something we like, Krishna reminds us that you like doing this. Right? Then we take it up again. That's the... You know, that's how it's like. Something comes along, never thought about it, and then seeing it, then you're totally into it. That's because that's something you've done before, and Krishna just reminded you. Right? Because otherwise, other people are seeing the same thing and couldn't care less. So they haven't done that. They're not interested. Does that make sense? So we just continue whatever we've done in previous life. That's what Prabhupada said. If you study what you're doing in this life, you can understand what you were doing in previous lives. Because all it is a continuation. Okay. So that's why when you take a devotional service, you step out of that cycle. So there'll be something left. The Prabhupada says, like a fan. You turn the fan off, it still spins for a while. But it's not actually running. Right? So it appears the karma is going on, but it's not actually. It's just, you know, just spinning for some time. Because the conditioned soul wants to forget you, by your grace you give him opportunities, life after life, by which he can almost perpetually forget you. Therefore you are eternally the director of the conditioned souls. It is because you are the original cause of everything that everything appears real. The ultimate reality is your lordship, right? So he is the original cause. That's why things here that are reflections of that look real. Because it's based on what is real. Right? You know, it's like you have a good Hong Kong copy of a Rolex watch. It looks real because there are Rolex watches. Right? Because there is an original, then that copy looks like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. The ultimate reality is your lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Gajendra continued, my lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras, like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the sources of the Parampara system. Right? So, Pancharatra and Vedanta Sutra, those would be considered representing the Lord. Because one is the philosophy of the Bhagavat philosophy, you know, being documented in sutra form and according to Nyaya, and the Pancharatra is how to worship that supreme, right? And the philosophy behind that. So both of them would be considered transcendental knowledge or paravidya. So that's why it says it represents him. While the other branches are apara. They are coming from him. You can see Krishna through them because he is them in that way, but. These are directly him, the others then are, he enters them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, and these are the source of the Parampara system. Okay, so Parampara is always based on these. Right? Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, though the Lord is the material cause of the universe, he is astonishing because he does not transform in any way by being the material cause. Footnote 12. This is not understood by the Vivartavadis who say that Brahman cannot be the cause of the material creation, since that would imply that Brahman transforms. Their answer to the problem is to claim that the creation is simply an illusion. Okay. So, he is transforming means his energies, because he and his energies are non-different. So, he's transforming. Right? But he is unaffected by it because he remains the same. His energies transform because they transform, though they're non-different from him, he's unaffected by that. Because he only interacts with his internal potency. He doesn't interact with the external or the transformation. It is difficult to understand that you, though engaged in pastimes in the spiritual world, without a material shelter, without actions in a material body, without assistance of the devatas, without material gunas, create, maintain, and destroy the universe, made of gunas, without transformation of your sarup, though you are the material elements. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.33. So his pastimes are beyond all this. So that's amazing. Though he's beyond it, he can create this world, which is not beyond it. You know? And he can be all the elements and still be beyond. So that's the meaning of his position. You know, we can't do that. Does that make sense? So the energy is transforming. It's in internal or it's as external. So that's how Shakti works. Right? And so we being Shakti, we can either be under the internal or be under the external. Right? So that's on it. So that's why it's hard to understand him who's beyond this. So he is all of us, but at the same time he's different. So he's unaffected. That's the thing. He's beyond. He's the source. He's not dependent. We are affected because we are dependent. Right? The transformation, we're dependent, so therefore we're affected. So when we're dependent on Krishna, who's unaffected, we'll be unaffected. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Sridhar Swami says, though the Lord is the cause, being a cause as clay is a cause of a pot is excluded. That is what is meant by Adbhuta Karanaya. The proof of this astonishing nature is given, right? Because the point is the pot is there. It's a transformation of clay. So you can say clay is the cause of the pot. But the point is the clay and the pot have the same nature. It's clay. But that's the thing. Krishna can be the cause, but he's beyond. He's not the clay.
According to what we just said, so the clay would be the material cause? And Krishna would be the final form, whatever was there.
He'd be beyond. Yeah.
That's what
means you have the transformation. You have the one transforming into another.
So that's material nature transforming yes. into something.
Something else. Yes. Yeah. Like that, and then you'd have the potter, and then he's there as the instrument, and then he's doing the activity. But there's a purpose for it. He's trying to make pots so he can sell them or stick water in them or something like that. So. They would just stay within, Aristotle would just stay within those that area. But if you point out is that, yes, we're doing the action, but if we're doing the action as assistant to the Lord, that means then we're fulfilling his desires, the ultimate cause. Right? And then the transformation of the material energy from the one to the other, then they're just seeing the two point, the existence of it and then the form of it. So that just explains, you know, the difference between the two. It exists in one and then it changes form into another. So, yeah. But that is also, how can it change? That's the formal cause. That's the internal potency. That you can take clay and make it into a pot, that's because in the internal potency in the formal cause, that's possible. Then you'll see it in the material. Because the material is just a transformation of the formal. So in other words, the original cause, then the materialist, he's a transformation of that. And the formal cause, then the material cause is a transformation of that. So when we act as a servant of the Lord, only as an instrument, then we take part and then Krishna's in his position. The formal cause, his internal potency is in their position. We're in our position as the servant and material nature is in their position. Right? But if we think we're the Lord, then those two get off, and then we just, what we think can be done, we try to do. So we're the original and the formal, and you know, all this kind of jazz. Yeah.
We the world.
Yes, we are the world. Yes. Okay. And say the proof of this is of this astonishing nature is given. The Lord is the great ocean. The conclusion. The resting place of waves in the form of Pancharatric scriptures, Agama, and the Vedas, Amnaya. Okay, no, there's too many things going on here, so I'll just stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanati.